Our scripture reading this morning from the book of Acts, second book of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved.
Thank you, Robin. Our second reading is from 1 Peter in the second chapter. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Lovely words from Peter, and also from Luke, the writer of Acts. And they all seem to come together to suggest we're all in this together. And I'm sure that was a major part of Jesus' message. But I want to talk trees this morning. Actually, I want to talk tree. For those of you who don't read my blog, shame on you. For those of you who do, I'm sorry, this is a repeat. In 1895, I believe it was 1895, a Dr. Wood, a famous arborist, was in deepest, darkest Africa, as they called it at the time. And he was struck by the sight of this tree that he saw out in the middle of nowhere. And he took a clipping from this tree and brought it back to his native England, where in probably the Royal Arboretum is where they took it, and they stuck it in a pot and forgot about it for a while. And for 98 years, it hung out, growing there. Got the name E. Woody. That is its name of this tree, the scientific name, named for Dr. Woody. I think it's Woodeye, probably. E. Woodeye. It's the name of this tree. So, turns out this particular species of tree is one of those male-female kind of things. There's a male version of the tree and there's a female version of the tree. This was a male version of the tree. And it had been out of circulation for 98 years, when it decided to start dating again, it found it had been out of circulation for too long. They could not find a female of this tree anywhere. Now, they could clone the tree, but the clones were all male. They couldn't clone a male tree and get a female tree. So here is this tree, this E. woodeye, and it looks kind of like a palm tree. And every once in a while, it'll pop out a pollen container and make available its pollen to nobody. And they're looking all over the world for a female for this tree. and they haven't been able to find it. So there's no seed. There's nowhere for this tree to go. And reading this story, how lonely that would be if you think about it. It's sad. I know it's a tree. But think about it. It's sad. What does a tree have to live for but making a forest? Now you stop that right there. Here is this tree, completely and totally and utterly one of a kind, completely and totally and utterly alone. Now take that and think about the myth of rugged individualism. And think about what the natural end of our thought of ourselves celebrated as individuals is. If we truly succeed in being ruggedly individual, we're like E. Woodeye, completely, totally, utterly alone. And in truth, a human being can't live that way. The myth of rugged individualism, and I like John Wayne movies as much as the rest of you, the myth of rugged individualism is that somehow you can stand on your own and be, it's almost never female language used with this because I think women tend to know better. You can't stand on your own and be a self-made man. In truth, you can't. You never can. And back in the time of Jesus, he was not one to say he was a self-made man. And that was the whole temptation in the desert thing of just make the rocks into bread, Jesus. You can do that. Just jump off the temple and show what a big shot you are compared to everybody else. And Jesus resisted that at every turn. Jesus suffered like the rest of us. Jesus was disappointed like the rest of us. Jesus didn't hit people over the head and force them to follow him. He lived in community. He let other people feed him. He let other people wash his feet. He let other people do for him, and he did for them. There's a deep inherent message there. And in the experience of his disciples immediately after Jesus left, they started to fracture and go off their separate ways. And then Jesus appeared here and there. Last week we talked about the road to Emmaus, and Jesus appeared, and those two came back to Jerusalem to where the rest were gathered. And Jesus pulled them all back in so they could support each other, inspire each other, and live together in love and peace. In Genesis it says, it is not good that man lives alone. I don't know who God was talking to when God said that, but God said, it is not good man lives alone. We shall make a helpmate. And that is the Jewish Hebrew idiom of saying that no woman, no man should be by themselves, but should have other women, other men around them, surrounding them as part of the great weaving together of life. That's important. So I've decided I'm on this kick for rugged communalism, not rugged communism, rugged communalism. What would that look like? Well, it would look like being the kind of tough guy that toughs it out to do something for somebody else. It would look like being the kind of strong woman who lifts other people and makes their lives better. It would look like the same thing we celebrate now, only with a slightly adjusted focus so we can see all the implications of our actions. And the best way to do that is while you're sitting here right now, I want you to think about something. I want you to think about a tree. Several trees, actually. Several chestnut trees, actually, that you're sitting on right now. We're sitting on a veritable forest right now of chestnut trees that were logged and processed, cut down and planed, shaped, assembled, stained, and placed inside a building. We're standing right now, or sitting on top of rough-hewn timbers that make up the joists under our floor. We have rising up at the sides lathe and plaster and brick, and we have the same kind of heavy wood beam roof over our heads and a towering steeple that has been here for 136 years. And before that, there was another building on the same spot. And before that, another building on the same spot. And before that, a plot of land that someone donated so we could build a church. And before that, there were 19 people in a podunk backwater town on the edge of the wilderness where they're hoping not to get attacked by wolves or eaten by bears. It was their last stop before complete wilderness, far from everything they had ever known. And these 19 people realized, each of them, we cannot do this on our own. We need to organize. We need to get together. We need to read the Word of God. We need to form a church. And so those 19 people, 212 years ago, are what you guys drove to be a part of today. The need to be all together is basic to humanity. The need to share love with each other, to know the others are there, basic to humanity. And Jesus came down, put on this human suit with all its, you know, the human body, while wonderful, is really complicated and problematic at times. I mean, compared to being just spirit blowing where you will, once you climb inside a human body, you got aches and pains. You got bruises and bumps. You got sadness and depression. He put all that on and showed us what a glorious thing it is to be a human being. What a marvelous thing it is to lean and rely on each other, to extend a hand. And he taught us that when we are at our lowest low, the very best thing we can do to raise our mood is help another human being. And he taught us that when we are at our highest high, well, it's sad if you don't have someone to tell about it. Isn't it? All together now, in rugged communalism, we were built for love. We were built for life. We were built for community. So when we leave this church that someone else built for us and kept going for us until we could get here, when we go out onto those roads that someone else created from Indian trails that someone else walked, when we go out under that sky that God put there just for us and feel that rain on that soggy ground, know this. You are not alone. You are part of this wonderful community called humanity on this wonderful planet called Earth. You aren't meant to make it up all by yourself. And you aren't meant to prove to God or anyone that you are worthy of anything. You are meant to love your neighbor as yourself and your God with your heart, your soul, and everything you've got as a rugged communalist. Amen.